me begin by just asking you the question, what image of God did you grow up hearing mostly? Some of you who've maybe grown up in the church, what are some of the images that you've grown up with? Just speak them out. God as
Grandpa?
Yeah. God is Santa Claus? Tooth Fairy? Anything scripturally that you grew up with? Sheesh. No, just kidding. Almighty. Hey? Almighty? Okay. What else? Heavenly Father?
Stern, kind Father.
Stern, kind Father. Okay. Pardon me?
Good Shepherd.
Interesting, when I was in Israel, many shepherds were female. Yeah. Pardon me? Vengeful. Yeah. Yeah, can't get around that when you read some of the Old Testament, right? Anything else? Huh? Successful? Yeah, God's pretty successful, eh? I grew up with a judge, father, lawgiver, warrior, priest, king. In fact, as a little boy, I can't remember ever hearing a sermon acknowledging the feminine metaphors in Scripture describing his character. They're all male. When in fact I first heard God referred to as she, I have to admit that I was quite taken aback. I have to admit, I felt like God was somehow being insulted or diminished. A number of years ago, I became aware of just how the gender-exclusive language of God was impacting young girls growing up in the church. I was at North Shore Alliance Church about 7.5, 8 years ago, and I was sitting in the pew, kind of waiting for the service to begin, and I overheard a little girl, 8 years old, asking her father this question. She was wondering why the Bible seemed to dismiss women, and whether God preferred men over women. That was her perspective. That's what she actually was experiencing. Whether it was right or wrong, but that is what she felt. That's what she was hearing. And I wonder what the effect of this one-sided view of God has had on women through the centuries. I wonder if we are not given a balanced approach of the masculine and the feminine side of God, that we miss something huge that God wants to give us. A friend of mine overheard her three kids doing some role play, and this is what she overheard. Her two daughters and her son were playing God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. She overheard her daughter volunteer to be Jesus and the boy wanting to be God. Then her older girl piped up and corrected them both, saying this: "No, we know that Jesus was a man." So she said to her brother, "You have to be Jesus." And then she said, "But we know that God is neither male or female." So she said to her sister, "You can play God or the Holy Spirit. It's your choice. What will it be?" And she was actually delighted. She knew that her kids, her daughter, her oldest daughter, actually got it. She understood. Do you know that the Bible itself uses feminine language for God? Isaiah 49:15 says, "Never can a mother forget her nursing child. Can she feel no love for the child that she has born? But even if it were possible, I would not forget you." And Anne read a passage out of Isaiah as well, speaking about the feminine side of God, the mothering side of God, that is quite pervasive through Scripture. But we also know God is Father in Luke 15. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. So God is like a mother who will not forsake her nursing child, and like a father who runs to welcome the prodigal home. We need, in fact, both pictures, don't we, to help us understand clearly what God is like. Like I said, it's like the pieces of a stained glass window. There's lots of colors that the feminine add to the mosaic that we know as God. This morning, we want to celebrate the feminine side of God. And in Scripture, we're going to take a look at a number of these. First, I want to take a look at the feminine side of God as mother. So the first image is God as a woman in labor. Let me read the text out of Isaiah 42. He will say, I have long been silent. Yes, I have restrained myself. But now, like a woman in labor, I will cry and groan and pant. I will level the mountains and hill and blight all their greenery. I will turn the rivers into dry land and will dry up all the pools. I will lead blind Israel down a new path, guiding them along an unfamiliar way. I will brighten the darkness before them and smooth out the road ahead of them. Yes, I will indeed do these things. I will not forsake them. How many of you have been in the labor room, assisting your wife in labor? Anybody? Any men? How would you describe that moment? Some of you, it's a pretty powerful moment. Overwhelming moment. I have to say, I'm one of those men that wept in that moment. But for some of us, we wouldn't describe the moment as sweet, as comforting, as safe. Likely that comes far from... does not come to your mind. Maybe the words that come to your mind are more like passion, unbridled passion, in fact, zeal, on a mission, not messing around, right? There's a number of phrases, pictures that might come to our mind. And here we see this image of God, the image of God in labor. This forceful breath of God is the image of God's divine power. God is coming against Israel with power, like the forceful air expelled out of the lungs of a woman in labor. And it's pretty significant power. I don't know if you caught it in the text, but it levels mountains. It's blighting all their greenery, drying up every spring, river, pool. It's pretty intense. It's pretty hot. I could just imagine the writer of Isaiah going, how can I best describe this aspect of God? A woman in labor. But we see something else emerge. It's the passion of God that longs to lead his people down a new path, brighten darkness, smooth out the road. And then there's this promise, I will never forsake you. Passion, zeal. I think about what will motivate God to finish the work that he began in each of you. It's his passion. The passion, like the passion of a woman giving birth. I will do what I came to do. I will make you beautiful. I will finish the good work in you. And don't get in my way. I don't know how you feel about that image of God. Maybe you would rather connect with God as a mother who nurses her children. This is the text that Anne read out of Isaiah 49. Never can a mother forget her nursing child. Can she feel no love for the child that she has born? But even if that were possible, I would not forget you. The other picture all through Scripture is this picture of God as this nursing mother, tenderly caring and caring for her child. I don't know if you have done any kind of research or read any articles on the benefits of nursing newborns. But it provides protection, that important immunities and protection from a disease. It also is best for a child in order to connect and create a sense of security in a child. Emotional support. Now think of this on a spiritual level. How many of us need the same kind of support to connect with God? That's why I love that Bob Dylan song. To make you feel my love. We go through moments when we cling to God's promises, but we don't feel anything. But often we're taught the emotion needs to come later. It can't rule us. But we need to know that we connect with God, don't we? How many of us need that same kind of support to have that sense of closeness with God? I think about John, one of Jesus' disciples. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, they were sharing Passover meal. And what does Scripture say about John's relationship with Jesus? It's interesting. It says this, that the disciple that Jesus loved was reclining on Jesus' chest. That's quite a picture, isn't it? Jesus so comfortable with God that he's resting his head in the bosom of Christ. Wow, that's a pretty intimate picture. It's a picture of belonging. Safe in the arms of Christ. But it's not the only picture of closeness and intimacy that we have in Scripture of God as mother. The other is God carrying us in his womb. Isaiah 46, 3 and 4 says, "Listen to me, descendants of Jacob, all you who remain in Israel. I have cared for you since you were born. Yes, I carried you before you were born. I will be your God throughout your lifetime until your hair is white with age. I made you, and I will care for you. I will carry you along and save you." The picture here of absolute closeness of God carrying us is a mother carrying her child in her womb. It's interesting that in contrast to this, the pagans actually had this belief that they had to care for their gods. That when they traveled, they had to put their idols in a cart in order to protect them from toppling over and getting hurt. Here, God is communicated as not the one that needs protecting, but the one that actually can protect us and carry us and hold us and surround us, especially in times of insecurity. Yahweh is the one who's strong and safe. It's in God's heart to support, isn't it? To redeem. And here we have this picture of this maternal bond, God as compassionate and tender toward his children. Nursing provides closeness, safety, and connection between mother and child, but think about what a womb provides. Absolute security, peace, safety for 9 months. I think in an ideal world, you can't find a safer location. In fact, the mother's womb provides insulation against all kinds of external pressure, light, sound, shock. I could go on into kind of the all that the womb provides on a physical level. But I want you to think about this truth on a spiritual level. This is how God is described and how he holds us, carries us, surrounds us. No wonder Scripture says that we find our safety in him. We're told that each of us in times of confusion and we can actually go to God and find him in that secret place where nothing else can touch us. It's a beautiful picture that God is enough, that everything we need comes from God. Over and over we see God as mother who loves, nourishes, heals, provides, protects, holds, teaches, and feeds. Do you know this side of God? Are you open to this side of God? I never forget when I was in North Vancouver, God was doing had revealed some wounding in me that I had no idea was there. Much of my adolescence, I had focused on this kind of significant father wound and stuff that needed to be healed between my dad and my view of men, particularly men in leadership over me. But as God healed that, what I discovered hiding behind that was this wound, this mother wound. And there was this side of me that was not open to God, that feminine side of God, his nurturing and caring side of God. As God began to reveal this to me, it was right around the same time that Luke had surgery. And one afternoon, I was watching Kenda care for Luke, dress the wound. And I was so blown away at the tenderness that I saw exhibited in Kenda as she cared for my son. So gentle, not in a rush, all about protecting, so deliberate. And it was like God was saying to me, whispering to me, "Darcy, this is how I'm caring for you. I'm not trying to rush you through your healing. I'm not trying to say to you, come on, get on with it. I'm caring for you. I'm gentle with you." It was actually through that moment of watching Kenda care for my son, I was open to this side of God that I had never actually experienced before. And it opened my heart up to so much more of God. Today we celebrate the tenderness of God, the mother heart of God. Let's move to the next picture. The next picture in Scripture is this feminine side of God as our helper. Philippians 2 tells us that God left heaven to become this human to show us what God is like. And it says that he showed up as a servant, as a slave. And that's the picture here. God performing these behind-the-scenes tasks that a woman growing up as a peasant in Galilee would be performing. Passages like, "You brought me safely from my mother's womb and led me to trust you at my mother's breast." What's that speaking about? It's a doula, a midwife attending a birth. There's also this passage of Scripture. What else is the kingdom of God like? It's like the yeast a woman used in making bread. Even though she put only a little yeast in 3 measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough. I love the picture. It actually, reading this passage through this lens actually opened me up to more of what the picture of God actually kneading the yeast of the kingdom into our hearts. It's a beautiful picture. Kneading it until that yeast is actually permeates every part of our soul. I wonder for some of us, has the yeast touched every part of your heart? The yeast of the kingdom. The prayer that this text has been opening me up to is praying, God, continue to knead the yeast of your kingdom into all the areas of my heart, the areas that maybe have been neglected thus far. The other passage we see out of Luke 15 is this picture of a woman who lost a coin. And in order for her to go to the market and pay for the food and buy food and feed her family, she needs that coin. This picture of God searching for us, that lost coin, who searches for us far harder than we could ever search for him. Some beautiful pictures of God as this female peasant servant working behind the scenes as your helper. Where else have we heard that text, that idea, God as helper? In Genesis, Scripture says that God would provide Adam with a helper. Genesis, it says, the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him." And God knew how much we as men would need help. A counterpart. This idea of God as helper and a woman as helper is not meant to be negative. It's not the idea of woman helping men and fulfill their own kind of agenda. This is actually a picture that we actually see of God. Who else is called our helper? God. Our ever-present help in time of need. In fact, it's not the same word in Hebrew, but the idea of God as our helper, providing woman as our helper, is a beautiful picture of God coming alongside and supporting, encouraging. I don't know how you feel about God as helper, but today we celebrate Christ in you. We catch a glimpse of God through you as a woman, your sacrifice, your servant heart. As we see God as helper working through your gender. And we celebrate that today. The third picture that we see in Scripture, the feminine side of God, is seen in creation. The predominant image that we see through Scripture is God, this female bird, protecting her young. First is the eagle. Deuteronomy 32 says, "Like an eagle that rouses her chicks and hovers over her young, so he spreads his wings to take them up and carry them safely on his pinions. The Lord alone guided them, and they followed no foreign gods." Elsewhere in Psalm 91, "He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings." It's a beautiful picture of God. I don't know if you knew this, but the female eagle is both larger and stronger than the male. In fact, she does the bulk of egg sitting and the bulk of hunting. She's the one who teaches, in fact, the little eaglets how to fly. And I don't know if you've ever understood this, but how a mother eagle teaches her young how to fly is that she will carry that young on top of its back. And the mother instinctively will just drop down, causing the little eaglet to be all alone, learning how to fly. As it plummets, the mother picks it up again and carries it. And then will dive, and then the baby flounders, and then the mom comes up and picks it up again, until the eagle is flying all on its own. It's a beautiful picture. So the first is this picture of God nurturing, supporting us when we're weak, encouraging us to grow, kicking us out of the nest, causing the nest to get prickly. That's this feminine side of God. Second is this picture of Mother Hen. "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers. How often I've wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings, but you won't let me." In Christ's lament over Jerusalem, Jesus uses this feminine image. The eagle is associated with light, height, sun, mobility, and the heights. In contrast, God here is seen as this lowly hen, associated with the shadows and darkness of the henhouse and with the depth and stillness of the mothering wings. The picture I have here is Psalm 139. The psalmist says, "When I go to the heavens, you are there," the eagle. "When I go to the depths, you are there," the hen. The darkness of the henhouse. It's this, God is present in both locations. Each aspect of God is powerful and necessary for us to have an accurate picture of God. The other picture is not a bird, but mother bear and lioness. "Like a bear whose cubs have been taken away, I will tear out your heart." Woo. "I will devour you like a hungry lioness and mangle you like a wild animal." Here we're given this fierce image of God as a mother bear protecting her young. As a mother lion protecting your young. I don't know if that makes you feel safe. To have a passionate God that is watching over you and caring for you. It's interesting the context here that the writer is talking about. He's saying God's rage is against those who withhold gratitude. That's what it stirs up in God when we are not filled with gratitude towards one another. I don't know if you knew this, but the Hebrew word for Holy Spirit is in the feminine. And did you know that many traditions refer to the Holy Spirit in the feminine? Russian Orthodox. Germany, in fact, images the Holy Spirit as feminine as well. No wonder it's the Holy Spirit of God who in Scripture births new things in us. It's the Holy Spirit that births those things in us. For it's apart from the Holy Spirit, none of this would be possible. The Holy Spirit gives birth, in fact, to the spiritual life in you and in me. The Holy Spirit is the one who births new gifts, pours out those gifts in us, and it causes those things to come out. Sometimes it's like giving birth. Seeing those gifts emerge in us, seeing those new things emerge in us. And I wonder how many of you in these days feel like God is in labor, wanting to do something new in us, and it wants to come out, but it's this hard, intense work, and maybe you find yourself right in that place of hardship. But God is birthing something new in you. My encouragement is go with it. So God, as tender, filled with passion, the intimacy of a mother, providing all we need, carrying us, building in us the safety and security that we need. But God is helper, carrying us behind the scenes, washing us, making us whole, kneading into our hearts the very yeast of the kingdom. But also God in creation as our protector, our ever-present one, our teacher. We see all these aspects of God and more through Scripture. I don't know if this surfaces anything in you. When you hear me talk about the feminine side of God, what does that do for you? Does that give you, is that a confirmation for you? Does that cause some stuff to go on in you, a discomfort? Give me some feedback. Is this nothing new? You find this refreshing? What? Talk to me. Pardon me? Relief? Makes sense. Comforting and confirming. Yeah. Lately, I've heard lots of passages of Scripture on God releasing gifts into the body, particularly to women. Acts 21. Scripture says that this man, Epaphroditus, I think is his name, had two daughters who had the gift of prophecy. Prophecy in Scripture is not foretelling. It's actually forthtelling. It's more like someone who has been given the gift of preaching and declaring God's word in order to edify the body. There's some prophetic actually happening today, if you've been listening. But it's interesting, the text says that these women had the gift of prophecy. Some of you just came back from a women's retreat, and you are seeing these gifts emerge in women. And the gift of prophecy through the female gender is beautiful, and it's different than when the gift of prophecy is given to a man. It's different. They cannot be the same. We need them both. So, I think God has given tremendous gifts to both genders in the body, and we need all those gifts to surface, right? So, anything else that this does for you? We're in. Pardon me? It's out of your comfort zone? Yeah, for many of us, we grew up in church communities, church families, where it was God as king, warrior, judge, lawgiver, all the, right, priest. Yeah. Pardon me? Yeah. Missing link. Peter? Yeah. Right. Yeah.
It's a challenge for men to be nurtured.
Yeah, I mean, what I believe is I think the older we get by God's grace, the older we get as men, the softer we become. How many have met a grandpa who cries at the top of a hat, allows the tears to flow when they're appropriate, is gentle, is so in touch with the feminine side of himself and is secure to allow that to be lived out? It's beautiful, isn't it? How many of you are attracted to those kind of grandpas? Yeah. Yeah, it's that we as men need to grow and be more open to that feminine side of God in us. And the same thing goes for women. That women actually can become more stronger. Sometimes the prophetic actually can be quite forceful, but it's this. But you can see the women be more in touch with the masculine, and men grow and be more in touch with the feminine. I think that's what you're saying. Yeah. Laura. Yeah, and I think that's good for us to clarify here, is that it's the feminine side of God lived out through the male and through the female. And I think what Peter's saying and what you're saying is that we as men need to be open to that feminine side of God, right? Because it will look different when it's through a male versus a female, but it's still our kids and the people that we are in touch with need to experience that side of us, right? And in that, they get a taste of God. Yeah. Grace. My prayer is that some of the metaphors that I've shared today, that will begin to refresh your soul, and that you'll begin to pray those things. For you to begin to pray that God will birth something new in you in these days. That God, what God is actually trying to birth in you, that you would be open and receptive to his work. Some of you who have never put your trust in Jesus, when you are at that place of resistance and struggle, it is like God giving birth, and there's something that he wants to do in you. But that birth will come. And so my encouragement is to allow him to do that work in you. Allow him to birth spiritual life, that you would become a child of God, to be reborn, born anew by God's Spirit. And maybe that you'd begin to pray that God, as that female side baking and kneading bread, that you would begin to pray that God would knead the yeast of his kingdom into your heart in a deeper, more profound way than he has ever done before. So I don't know how God has spoken to you, but my encouragement is just keep pressing in. And worship team's going to come up. They're going to lead us in a song as a response. So my encouragement is to sing if you want to sing. Allow just to soak if that's what you want to do. Just listen. And then maybe after that song, you can maybe play the first one again and just let her rip. We'll close with that one.
Gently lay your head upon my chest. I will comfort you like a mother while you rest. The tide can change so
last song to the Lord.
His promise to you is that he loves you with an everlasting love. So go in the power and the grace of Christ and share that love with the world. Thanks for coming. We'll see you guys sometime in June. Second Sunday in June, right? All right. See you. Moms, I think we've got a gift for you, so please don't leave today without that gift, all right? We love you. Happy Mother's Day.